Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to see each of you today. I have a question. Who among you here have dreamed last night? Ooh, I see a few hands. Do you know why you dream? Yes? Well, you know what? Yeah, sometimes people dream about the activities that they have during the day, or sometimes we dream just random dream. You know, it has nothing to do with your activities during the day, or but you dream anyway. Now, scientists has no clear explanation about dreams either. But you know what? I believe in dreams. There are dreams that comes from God. Did you remember some people that have dreams in that are written in the Bible? Can you name one? Yes. A person that had a dream. Joseph had a dream, right? Some dreams are prophetic and some dreams are an assurance that God is with us, right? Jacob had a dream. Mary had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Oh, by the way, sometimes we dream and when we wake up, we cannot remember what we dreamed about. Did you experience that? Yes. And sometimes too, when we dream, there's like a clear picture of, you know, that we see, and it's just a beautiful picture, and that we cannot forget that dream. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes when we dream, it is sometimes that God telling us something, right? Did you ever experience, or did you hear someone dream, or like two people dream at almost like the same dream, that like a continuation of a dream? I'm going to tell you my story. Hannah and I dreamed. And this dream is an assurance for me. It was September the 2nd, 2013. It was not even a month after my husband, Tim, died. And I was so worried about Hannah, how she grow, you know, she will grow up without a daddy. And I was so worried about that. And so that night, I had a dream. Oh, before that, I have to give you a background. I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning. And as usual, I have to, you know, have my little devotional. I pray and read my Bible and check some emails. And I could not go back to sleep until it was 6 o'clock. And so, I don't want Hannah to be late at school. I set my alarm, and I went back to sleep. And so while I was sleeping, that very short time, I had a dream. And that dream, I was in a hired van with a lady driver. I was riding with my cousin and Hannah. And my, you know, yeah, so three of us. And while we were driving, I realized, why did I hire a driver? And when I get to school, how I am going to get back home? And so I told the driver, can you please go back to my house? Shall we return? Because I just want to use my van to bring Hannah to school. I changed my mind. So we came back to my house. And so, soon after that, when my cousin and I got off from the van, and soon after we got off, the lady took off. And I realized that Hannah was not with me. Then I panicked. I was so worried, and I was just, Lord, what am I going to do? So I asked my cousin, can you Let's run after the van. So we ran, and so I saw that the road is going to end. And at the end of the road, there was a river, like a stream. So we crossed that stream and we were running. And when we reached to the end, the road split into two, going uphill. And we have no way to track where the van went, whether on the right side or on the left side. So I asked my cousin to go on the left side. I will go on the right side. And it was muddy. And I was running and I could not run because it was so muddy. And then the alarm went off. So I was thinking about my dream and my heart was still pumping so hard. And then all of a sudden I hear someone, you know, it's like crying. She was crying in her dream. And so I woke her up because it's time to get up anyway. I woke her up and then I knew that she dreamed. And I asked her, Hannah, did you have a dream? Yes, mommy, you were not there. But then you know what? In her dream, I asked her to draw her dream so that maybe you kids can understand what she saw in her dream. So this is what she saw in her dream. She drew. In her dream, she was inside a van. And that lady driver was driving and she was crying because mommy was not there. And then the van stopped. And so the next picture, Hannah. When the van stopped, the lady was trying to take her out of the van. And she was scared the more. And so guess what? While she was crying and was looking for mommy, she saw someone in front of her. And it was Jesus she saw. And Jesus took hold of her hand. And Jesus will not let her go. When I heard that, it was the answer to my prayer. And I was so comforted that Jesus is going to be with Hannah. And that Jesus will never leave her alone. Then I remember the dream of Jacob. Remember Jacob? He flee because he was what? He deceived his brother and he was running away from his brother because he's going to kill him. So he went. He was lonely. He was hungry. He was tired. He missed his family. And then he went to sleep. And in his sleep, he saw a long ladder that reached to heaven. And what did he see in the ladder? There were angels that were going up and down. And at the end of the ladder, who was there at the end of the ladder? It was Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, it says, this is what God told Jacob. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Isn't that wonderful? What God promised to each one of us, He's going to fulfill it. He's going to fulfill it. And He promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That means He is always with us, right? I hope that each of you here will remember that Jesus is never, never going to leave us. Shall we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your promise. We thank you for taking care of us, that even though we are alone, lonely, and scared, and hungry, you are there. You will take care of us. Thank you, Father, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, it's our opportunity now to come before the throne of grace. And so if you have a special request, put it on the blue card and bring it down to the front and join me down here. Cast all my cares upon you. I lay all my burden down at your feet. Father God, our Creator, our Redeemer, the one who sustains us, we are kneeling here before you, wanting to worship you today on the day that you created for us to spend time with you, with each other, with family, with friends. Lord, we first of all want to ask forgiveness for the ways in which we have sinned and hurt you this past week. We pray that you would send the angels to be here this morning. And we thank you for the promises, and particularly the promise we were reminded of here in the children's story, that you will always be with us. You will never leave us. And as we, from day to day, week to week, encounter the trials that you are allowing to come to us, and that you are wanting us to, by your power, go through, because it prepares us for that time of trouble that Psalms 91 is talking about. Help us to realize that it's only by you and your strength that we can ever meet the trials that are coming. But we're thankful that you do. I pray for these requests that I hold in my hand. You know them. You already have a plan in place to meet the needs. And we just pray that you would put into effect those plans, that you would provide, as you say you are Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides, the God that provides. So we just pray that you will do that. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be here in a special way this morning, to quiet our minds, to help us to hear your voice speaking to us today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I would like to invite Brenda Christensen to come up here at this moment. A few weeks ago, I asked Veronica Jenkins to lead out in our church service today with a group that went down to Oklahoma to a family camp there. And we set this date as the date when she would be having or leading out in the service, sharing the message with that group, sharing the message to you. And little did I know back then that I would be very much weather today. And I can barely stand up. So I'm thankful that this was arranged weeks ago. We do have a Lord that provides. But Brenda, I asked you not very long ago to share with us during this stewardship moment one experience that you had when you first started returning tithe to God and offerings. Could you share with us just quickly? Just speak up.
Well, I grew up not going to church, So I don't know your experience, but in my experience, it was a learning journey, as we all are learning to follow our Lord and our Savior. And as I came to church, I heard about tithes and offerings, and sometimes you have differences at home, you know, and in your life, and sometimes those differences can hold you back. But then as I prayed and read the Bible, one particular part was about the priests as they carried the ark and they put their foot into the water and the water parted. And they had to put their foot forward first. And that just struck me about tithes and offerings in my life, that I needed to put my foot forward first and keep going, even though things appeared difficult at times. But to trust Jesus no matter what happens and keep putting that foot forward for Him. And that was my experience with tithes and offerings. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Let me just share with you one verse from Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is talking about giving. He was making a collection for the poor in Jerusalem. And he was saying to the Corinthians that he's talking about those that had given a lot. And he said, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So really, this is in the right order. You first give yourself. God, first and foremost, wants our heart. And then, as a result of that, we can give freely to God according to the needs that there are. At this time, we will take up today's offering, which is to our conference and our union today, an offering, a monthly offering to the conference and union needs. And so we're going to ask the ushers to take up the offering at this time. Our loving and kind Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your gifts, your grace that is bestowed upon us every day. Most of all, we're thankful for salvation in Jesus Christ and for the hope that you have placed in our hearts, the soon coming of our Savior to take us to heaven. And Father, we're thankful that you have given us life, and we pray, Father, that you will help us as we continue on the path that you have placed us, to develop more and more into the kind of unselfishness that characterizes heaven. Help us to be selfless. And thank you for the selfless ones that have returned your gifts and offerings today. And I pray that you will bless these gifts in Christ's name. Amen.
Praise God.
Scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 20, if you want to join me there. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Give me just a second. Having technical difficulties, I keep forgetting that the hook is not on this, and so I try to leave without it. Forgive me. How's everyone doing today? Are you experiencing the blessings of God like I am? I trust that you are. Thank you, everyone, for the roles that you have fulfilled so far in this Sabbath worship experience, for the scripture memorization. And I really praise God for those who have faithfully committed the memory of God's word to heart. And it really makes a difference. When we feed on God's word becomes life in us. And we begin to take God at his word, and we literally see the fulfillment of it. And that's much of what this message today is all about. And so while I'm extremely nervous, I'm also very, very, very excited about what is going to be shared with you today. I also find that getting up here doesn't get easier. It actually gets harder. As I tell Dr. Bryant, I do this quite frequently. I know a Pastor Bryant, and so I always want to call Dr. Bryant Pastor Bryant. Okay. As Dr. Bryant shared in our scripture reading today, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I want to apologize. Now, we actually had a PowerPoint presentation, but we had technical difficulties. But praise God for notes. So we will not be hindered. We do have something that we'll share at the end, and hopefully that will work out from the sound booth upstairs. But one of the things that I really wanted you to see, and even now, and I pray that you didn't just listen audibly to Dr. Bryant share the scripture, but I really pray that you really, really took it to heart. And so just in case you missed it, I want to read it again. But first, let's have a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, we totally acknowledge that we are nothing, but that you are everything. We praise you for the very solemn and very sacred responsibility of having the privilege of sharing you with others. We admit that without you, we will fall totally short. Therefore, we plead for the presence, the power, and the authority of your Spirit to convey first to our hearts and minds, and then to the hearts and minds of all who are listening. May there not be one soul under the roof of this church who chooses to go away empty. May all receive of heaven with the determination to give to others. Fill us with your presence, your power, and your Spirit. And again, we pray that as each one shares, that your words would be their words. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Okay, again in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. This is a really, really special passage of scripture for me personally, because this is a promise that God gave me, and I began to take to heart, really take it to heart, over 25 years ago. And I'm marveling at God because I am really beginning to see how this promise is coming to fruition. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or rather a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Interestingly enough, the Webster Dictionary defines ambassador as a minister of the highest rank to a foreign court to represent his sovereign or country, an official messenger. Now, in many respects, I would almost think that Webster really got their definition out of scripture, because this rightly represents our high calling in God, doesn't it? As children of God, we have been given the highest appointment known to men. As individuals and as families, we have been appointed by God himself to be ambassadors for Christ. In other words, to represent, and this is a point we don't want to miss, what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. It is to represent the true character of Christ. First, in our own homes, and then beyond, to our community, our city, and the world. Today, as we share the impact that the Oklahoma Family Retreat has had on our lives, it's our prayer that God will give you a picture of what he wants to accomplish in and through each one of your individual lives, your marriages, your homes, and your families. We will not assume that just because we are all here today, that our marriages, homes, and families are what they ought to be, because I know they're not. Not all of them. And even for those that are going in the path that God would have them to and that you would like, I feel certain that even in those, there's a desire to even still come up higher. We actually had 14 families right here from our church alone that attended the Oklahoma Family Retreat. I was really excited about that. That was a total of 35 individuals that represented those 14 families. And today we have the privilege of becoming, again, new creations in Christ. As these families share, God is going to tell you exactly how that can become a reality for each and every one of you. The question is, though, are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. The Bible tells us in Genesis 18, verse 19, it says of Abraham, "For I know him that he will command his children and household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." What a phenomenal verse. And we're going to begin. We have, again, a number of families that are going to come up and share with you. We're going to begin with Michael. Michael's going to come up and share why these family retreats mean so much to him. And Michael has long-time history with this ministry. And so he's going to share from his heart why this is so special and important to him.
Happy Sabbath. I didn't know I was going to be up here by myself. I thought all of them were going to be behind me. And also, I didn't realize I was going to speak till this morning. I think experience is a really good teacher. And what comes from my heart today is not from notes. In the 80s, there was a couple, Tom and Elaine Waters, and two little girls, very active in their church in the Chicago area, both active in Hinsdale Sanitarium Hospital there, radiology and nursing. And they felt a calling to get away from the life of the city, the life of the busyness. They were very busy, very active. They were doing so much in their church, but they felt called by God to come closer, come up higher. You've brought so many good thoughts already this morning. To come up higher is a theme that has been used throughout the years as well. But there's something that was missing, and they chose to leave it all behind. They sold what they had and they went to Montana, northwest Montana, near Eureka. And there was another family that in good weather they could reach about an hour away, and some others that were similarly distanced in that area that were in some ways experiencing the same thing. What can God do when he has you in his nature? He can speak to you. And they have over the years shared some things that they learned there of what God did and what God spoke to them and how they were prepared for situations because God impressed them to do things. But they didn't know why they did it beforehand. However, in, I want to say it was around 1990-91. In 1992, I heard the Waters and their children, and somewhere have a VHS tape of those children singing that song, Family, as a family. Hmm. And it's something to see the people that are expressing these thoughts of how God has reached into their hearts and has created a connection. They've allowed a connection to be made to them, to be walking according to his will. And over the course of years after that, it was very good. You can listen to some things that they have to say, and yes, this is good, this makes sense. It's like an overwhelming difference if you hear it all new. But I heard them a couple more times, and then they started at some point doing some camp meetings, some family camps. And the first one that was close enough and in time that it worked out for my schedule, in 1999 there was a family camp, a Restoration International family camp. And restoration is a big thing. It's a reconciliation to God, what God's ideal is for us. I think restoration is a very appropriate name for the organization as they started it. But it was very, very encouraging to see in that setting where not only were there adults and children and small children listening to this, we were all in one big room. There isn't a separate little meeting for the ages. Everybody's learning the same thing, and they're witnessing, and they're seeing what others around them are doing.
Amen.
And I had the opportunity to speak to Tom Waters privately at that camp meeting, at that family camp, because I had a situation in my life, I had a question on that, had, like, here's a man who, through his experiences he has had God speak to him through his conscience to impress him what he ought to do, and I realized he had a connection. And I asked a question of him that was to do with my life. And his answer was, are you fully surrendered to God's will for your life? Mm. He didn't answer my question.
Mm.
But that started, actually was the answer, you know. But that started a series of things in my life that made a world of difference personally for me about 2 months later that completely turned my life.
Mm.
And that's a story for another time. But the things that I have seen and heard from the Waters and from their children and from the others at these family camps, attending the family camp year after year for a period of time, shows that not only is it good for the individual, it's something that God can speak to you through something that is being said because they have that connection. And not only that, but it's good for couples and families because God does have a plan. He does have an ideal for each one of us. He really does. And I know I wrote something down I wanted to make sure not to forget. Yes. Thank you. Going to the family camps and going to the retreat, as this became the retreat because it was the first national one where there were so many people. There were 750 people there on Sabbath morning, I guess. I was able to go for Sabbath. This is not going back year after year and saying, oh, yes, I need a revival. I've got to have a revival. I've got to have something new. I've got to have this fresh infusion. No. It's not a revival. It's actually learning something that can be a revival, but it's something to learn. You can learn something every time. I did. There's something there for us, no matter whether we have been there before or we have just, it's like overwhelming if you try to take it all in at once, and so that's why it's good to pull it up and learn later. You can learn more later as you go along, and it forms a picture in your mind, and things kind of fit together. They kind of gel to where you have something that you can see more of what God's plan is, what his ideal plan is that he wants to restore us to. And I think as you hear individuals that tell their experiences today, those who were there this year and those who have been other times as well, maybe you will pick up something. I pray you will learn something from it that you can see that if you don't ever go to a Restoration International family retreat or camp, but if you learn some of the principles and if you study and see from their experiences. There are so many miracle stories that come from those years. There is something for all of us. God has a plan for each and every one of us. He has something he wants to help us to learn. And we're all on the same path to continue on that walk. And I believe everyone who has something to say today will have something that will encourage each one of us.
Thank you, Micah. Every Christian family should illustrate to the world the power and excellence of Christian influences. One well-ordered, one disciplined family tells more in behalf of Christianity than all the sermons that can be preached. A well-regulated family is a blessing to the whole neighborhood. Every child should be taught to be orderly and obedient. Religion is more than a mere theory. It is more than a passive acquiescence to truth. It is a living principle brought into the life, manifested in the daily occupation. True love in the home requires sacrifice, especially in the humble home. Next, we will hear from Brian, Esther, and their family.
I'm figuring I'm not alone. As a mother, sometimes I have trouble being still because I have so many duties and so many people to take care of. And before family camp, I was feeling so overwhelmed. And I'm so thankful God sent us there. Because I remember after the first day, it was actually quite funny. Those who camped outside will know. There was trouble trying to get to go to sleep at night because the kids were so excited to be outdoors and be able to play that they just wanted to stay outside and play, even though it was time to go to sleep. But I remember after they finally went to sleep, and I was breathing in the crisp outside air, I just felt so still and so peaceful, and I loved it, and I was so very thankful. And I just, that was a huge blessing to me, because throughout the entire weekend, I remember just breathing the air was a blessing to me. And being with people who love Jesus, who want to be ready for Jesus to come, was just wonderful. And I went, I felt very, very brave. Yes, that's somebody else's Bible. That's not touched. I felt very brave because I went at first with just my children. My husband had to work. Go to Daddy. I had to go by myself. I went. My best friend also took her three young children. And I was very unprepared. I went camping without a knife and without rope. And I remember getting there and thinking, I know better than this. I camped when I was younger. But God was so good to me. He knew that I was just overwhelmed. And he sent Paula and Steve, who had a knife and had rope, and they set up our tent for us. And I was so very grateful. The peace and the serenity was just a huge blessing to me. I highly, highly encourage everyone who can to go next year. The next thing I wanted to share with you was, as a parent, I struggle sometimes, and I'm so thankful for my children. Maria Neblett shared a message that just really touched my heart. And she quoted this text to it from Child Guidance. It says, "Whatever provocation you may have, be sure that the tone of your voice betrays no irritation. Do not let your children see in you a manifestation of the spirit of Satan." And I realized that I have done that. I have done that, and it was very hard for me to realize that I had failed my children. But there was so much encouragement, and I want to share this with you. Let us look carefully and begin to catch up our dropped stitches. Let us break down the strongholds of the enemy. Let us mercifully correct our loved ones and keep them from the power of the enemy. Amen. Do not be discouraged. And then this one. This is one I have been claiming every day since I found it. And this was the message of the whole weekend. The Lord, your gracious Redeemer, wants to bless you and give you his mind, his grace, and his salvation, that you may have a character which God can approve. Sometimes, I know they were telling us, the Rain family, their message on love and firmness was very, very much a blessing to me. I tend to be all love, and then I get frustrated. And then I go beyond firmness. And firmness is very hard for me. And it was a huge blessing to hear them say, you know, your children will be blessed if you balance them together. And so as the Lord was moving in my heart, as I was listening to that message, I picked up some little tidbits of information on how to do this with my children. And this was an answer to my prayer, because I had been praying many weeks before, asking the Lord, what can I do? What can I do in my life for my children? How can I raise them for Jesus? And the love and firmness, it's chapter 45 of Child Guidance that the Rain family talked about, was such a blessing. And I began to try it that weekend at family retreat. And it was so amazing. I watched my children just blossom. I watched them be able to take some responsibility. I watched them with their happy little faces sitting in meetings all day long. And I was so grateful to the Lord and so thankful that the Lord brought me there and I was able to learn those things. And I encourage you to take time to be still. It's hard to do, especially when so many people count on you. It's hard to do. But when you are still, the Lord can speak to your heart, and He can teach us His character. He can give us His grace and His salvation in our heart. And then we can give it to others. We will not do much good if we don't first start with ourselves and our relationship to God. How can we share Jesus if we don't first have Jesus in our hearts?
We were only given 3 minutes per family, so I'm going to be as brief as possible. This was... I was only able to be there for the weekend, as Michael was, because I was working at a job, so I couldn't get... I didn't want to take off Thursday and Wednesday. And when I got there on Friday night, my wife and children were not there, and I was looking all around for them, and they never came. I ended up having to meet them after. But that message, if there was no other message that Friday night, I felt God intended for me. And it was the message of intimacy. Intimacy with communication in your relationship. Intimacy with your emotions in your relationship. Intimacy of touch, being physical in your relationships, and intimacy of spiritualness in your relationships. And this has been a process from the time when I was pastoring in this conference and I was let go, that during this wilderness experience of mine, trying to get back into ministry, and trying to take care of my family, not knowing when the next day would be, but seeing how God is near us in our times of challenges. As He wanted to be with the Israelites in the camp in Exodus 25:8, where He says that, make me a tabernacle so that I may dwell with my people. In couple texts in scripture, Psalm 34:18 says, I will give... There it is. The Lord is near to those who have a broken spirit, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. And then Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, and to all who call upon Him in truth. How He wants to be near to us is an example of how He wants our families, our relationships with our husband and wives, and not only that, but in our society in general, as well as in the church life. Think of how close you are to and near to each other as a church. How near you are to each other. I think of how when I went to, I was called by God to go to Amazing Facts. And this church, though I did not have $4,500, was willing to put money together and help send me to Amazing Facts. But how much are we willing to be able to do that to each other, for each other? As in the book of Acts, how they sold their lands so that none was without anything. They were able to supply for each other. And I think of, as God is leading me in my life, I came to a point where I started to want to listen more to spiritual prophecy, and I started listening to patriarchs and prophets, and my life has changed. And led up to this experience at this family retreat, where family is important. I spend hours at seminary going through Ellen White's writings, through her manuscripts, through her diary, her various places in the Center of Adventist Research on how to raise children. And it, over and over, it was talking about the importance, the important duties of parents to be able to do this. I mean, you look at the scripture experiences of Aaron, who his two sons were so drunk in the sanctuary that they offered strange fire, and they were lost. Eli's sons, Samuel's sons. You go through scripture and you start thinking about the sons of each important patriarch in the church, in the Bible, and how important their impact made on society. So I want to, in closing, share this last at Adventist Home. God would have our families symbols of the family in heaven. Let parents and children bear this in mind every day, relating themselves to one another as members of the family of God. Then their lives will be of such a character as to give to the world an object lesson of what families who love God and keep His commandments may be. Christ will be glorified. His peace and grace and love will pervade the family circle like a precious perfume.
Thank you, Esther and Bryant. Okay, we're going to now have Nancy and Louie. They're going to come and share their experience.
This is not our whole family. My mom was not able to come with us, but we're hoping next time she will.
Amen.
So Louie is going to go fast and share what he got from the family retreat.
My most favorite things of family camp were family freeze tag and canoeing. And a few other things I learned were a lot of families and friends are so much on their cell phones that they are not spending time with one another. Hmm. Parents are not spending time with their children as they should, and siblings don't have time for one another. One of the presenters shared a situation that they observed at a restaurant where there were four people sitting together, all looking down on their cell phones as they ate. When they were done, they all stood up smiling at one another, saying how it was nice to get together and how they should do it again. And they parted ways and left. These four people at the restaurant were on their cell phones as they ate. They weren't talking to each other. They were probably on Facebook having conversations with people that were probably hundreds of miles away. that they haven't seen in years, but ignoring the people across the table from them. They may not have been having conversations with these people even, but just scrolling down aimlessly. It is just sad what we term as time together. Another presenter shared how they have rules at their home, where no cell phones allowed at family meal times. I like that. We could all try that, and also make room for family devotional, and also use cell phones only when necessary. We were very blessed and had a lot of fun. Hope to see you all there next year, God willing.
Amen.
Those are actually Louis's words that he made me print. That's what he, we printed it out just because they said we only have 3 minutes, so that we thought that would be easier for him to read. Yeah. And I am so grateful for the family retreat. I had asked for time off so long ago, but for some reason, I don't know, I didn't feel ready, but I knew God wanted me there. Amen. I'm a single mom, and there's struggles, you know, with raising a kid, especially an eight-year-old. Sometimes he wants his way. So I prayed to God every day to help me raise him. And being there at the family retreat, just watching those other kids up there on stage, you know, present as families, that's the dream I see for my son, that one day he will be like those kids. And for him, too, to be able to see those kids and those families present their challenges, everyday challenges. And one of the things I noticed also was those kids at the retreat, how, you know, how they sat and listened, you know, in church. And, you know, no one was worried about them. It was just all quiet all the time. And that's my prayer for a church, that our children will be able to sit and listen to the word too, because they need to hear it too, just like we do. Because a lot of times, you know, we think they're children and we try to have them do other things as the service is going on. But they need to hear this word too.
Amen.
Just like we do. Yeah. And I learned a lot of things. There was so many presentations and it's all in here. So I prayed that God help me just remember something to share with you. One of the presenters presented something about unintended consequences, about how a lot of times, a lot of things we do lead to long life consequences, like Facebook, you know, like social media. They gave an example of how social media has broken families, you know, how people connect with people outside and are not connecting, you know, with people in the house. You know, you try and connect to people that you haven't seen for years, you know, just like Louis' example, like he said, and yet you're not talking to your wife or your husband. And they say that that has actually led to a lot of divorces, just Facebook itself. Yeah. And then the other thing that they talked about is Maria Neblett. Yeah. Most of what I got, most of what, you know, I really learned was, you know, how to raise my son, or how we need to raise our kids, that we need to connect with the power source every day. And these kids need to see us, you know, we're not just pushing them to read. I want to say I do this sometimes, you know, I'll make Louis read the Bible every day, you know, but I need to do that too, not just tell him to do it. I need to be an example in my home too, the things I'm asking him to do, that I'm doing them too. So we need to connect the process every day as we teach our children and take them to the feet of Christ every day. Amen. And pray for them by walking in Christ's steps ourselves, so they can walk in those same steps. And pray that God can restore the image of himself in us, in our families. And then the other thing is to be intentional in everything we do. Amen. Even as we send them to school, even we have let our kids be raised by, you know, schools, by teachers. But God intended for kids to be raised in the family, mm-hmm. you know, by their parents. So we have, a lot of families have just let their kids be raised by people out there. And they learn a lot from out there. So every day, just talk to your kids and know what they're learning, so you can correct what they have learned and pray for them every day. And one last thing that I learned was there was this for youth, I think they're in their 20s, and the Neblett family, they talked about accountability. And they talked about
like about Paul in Acts 24:16. Paul had or was striving for a conscience void of offense towards God and men. That does not mean that Paul was perfect. We as families, as parents, we're not perfect either, but we can strive for that too, for a conscience void of offense towards God and men. This freedom in realizing that the enemy has no control over us. Paul was, I believe, according to the people that lived that time, he must have been the worst person ever. You know, by what he did to Christians, other Christians, he persecuted Christians. He sinned, but the only difference between Paul and a lot of us is that he repented. He came clean, you know, every time, and he made things right with God and men. That is accountability. We need to do the same things too. And I remember one of these kids gave an example of how we have a wall, you know, behind us, and we've hid a lot of things behind that wall that other people cannot see. You know, a lot of little nitty bitty things that we don't take serious, you know, like we try to deal with ourselves, like anger issues, you know, or social media, a lot of things that we're not, you know, that we're hiding from people that are seen. And we indulge in these pleasures, that we hide from other people. But when we invite Jesus in our lives, we say we have accepted him, but in the real sense, not fully when we're hiding those things, you know, behind that wall. So when we invite Jesus in our lives, let us invite him fully. And just like Paul, let us strive for a conscious void of offense towards God and men. And then lastly, I want to say that we are a church family. And as a church family, we have the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, remember, is made of many parts. So those many parts in our churches are many families. So we can try, you know, we can pray for our families to grow. And as our families grow individually, then our church will grow. And then the other thing is that God, Jesus sent us to make disciples. And the first disciples we need to make is our children.
Amen.
And he said he will be with us as we do that. So we just need to call upon him every day, you know, in our family devotions, every day in our homes. And that's something we as a family are struggling right now. You know, like we since the family retreat, I want to say we're doing better, you know. Praise just God. Getting to God closer. And I want to say my mom for sure will be there next time.
Amen.
Just by hearing from us, from me and Louie. And I pray that all of you can get to realize, you know, that we all need to grow as individuals and as families so our church can grow. And then as families, we can witness to other families just by them watching us. You know, they see Christ in us. We have a lot of family friends, you know, just African family friends that see us, and they tell us they see us different, you know, because they don't go to church. So that's our goal, actually, in my home, in my family, and my mom's goal, to minister to other families. And we have ministered through other families' kids, too, like the kids that we bring to church. We've had some of their moms say, hey, you know, my son told me this. Did people teach him this? You know, and we say yes, and, you know, that way, through them, we can minister. And as families, we can all grow. And even those that don't have their families here, pray for your families. And let us all have that goal of wanting to see our families in heaven, too, and grow as a church family. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy and Louie. Now we're going to have Dahlia and Hannah share. And you're going to notice something that I am especially blessed by. I specifically wanted children to share personally because I want you to understand the parents are not just conveying for the children. What the young people are sharing is based on their own personal experience. And that's one of the things that has blessed me the most.
Hannah practiced before we came, but now she doesn't want to speak.
Maybe she'll change her mind.
I don't know what to say in 3 minutes, because there's so many things to share. But I would like to inform you that the family camp that we went, that was my first time. And I had a very, very good impression what the family camp is all about, the retreat. there's so many topics that are very good to listen, but there are two things that stood out. One is the language of encouragement, and that was done by Mrs. Maria Niblett. As she spoke, it feels like she was talking just to me. I don't know if some of your parents are struggling to raise your children. I do. I have only one child, but I'm struggling to raise her to be in God's way. And so when she spoke, it's just like hit me real hard. And unfortunately, you know, Satan attacked me this morning. I was prepared last night, and I had put everything on the table to be ready. For some reason, I don't know what happened. My note got lost, and I could not find it, and so I was panicked coming here in the church. But anyway, I'll try to remember what she mentioned. It's just things that I remembered. What I understand most is that as a family, we should work as a team, not as individual. Mm-hmm. Because when we work as a team, great things are going to will be accomplished. Yeah. And one thing that she mentioned very, I think that the first part of her talk was the biggest influence to our children, especially are the mothers. Because the mothers are the ones that always, you know, we are so close to our children. We're the ones that take care of them since they're, of course, the fathers are there too. But mothers, especially, are being, you know, pointed out. And she mentioned about in the language of encouragement. Many times we mothers, we use cutting words to our children. We hurt them through our words. And it is a sad fact that those we love most are the ones that we hurt most. Hmm. And in Proverbs 18, verse 21.
Can I? Sure.
I actually have it here. Let me. I'll have to go that real quick. Proverbs, if you have your Bibles, you can read it with me. Proverbs 18, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What are we doing to our children? How do we speak to them? Do we speak to them with encouragement, or we speak to them like it cuts their hearts, their soul? And this does not apply only to our children. We can also do that to our spouses, to our sisters or brothers or whoever it is that parts of our family. And this is very, very important that we use the word of the sweet word, the encouragement. We need to encourage our members of our family instead of hurting them. And one thing, another thing that I remember is accountability. We make mistakes, of course, we do that from time to time. But being reminded, you know, we have to be accountable of what our mistakes are. As parents, sometimes it's hard for us to admit that we make mistakes. Isn't that right? Hmm. We are afraid to admit to our children that we make mistakes. Hmm. But it is very important to let our children know that we parents make a lot of mistakes as well. We are not born with instruction, and children are not born with instruction. So we parents, as they grow, we are also trying, we also learn with them. And so it's a process. And so it's better to admit that I talked to Hannah just the other day. I told, you know, I asked her about how mommy is doing with the way I raise her. Of course, she admit that she get hurt with my words, and you know, and it's, and I ask sorry. Mm-hmm. It's, Hannah, I'm so sorry. I make a lot of mistakes, of course. So that is one thing. And when children knew that their parents are not perfect,
that's right,
they will realize, then they will have more respect to their parents. And another one is, as parents, of course, especially mothers, we have to pray. When we are at the point where we are so, like, impatient, and our children actually can see in our eyes that we are already, like, upset, you know, then we have to pray. And I told Hannah, if you see mommy being upset, or, you know, you please remind me, mommy, do you need to pray? We need to pray. And another thing is, parents, we need to smile to our children.
Amen.
We're so busy doing things, or we want to accomplish things, and we forget to smile to our children.
Mm-hmm.
When they see parents smile, they are assured that, you know, our parents are happy, and they're, you know. And in Child Guidance, page 264, there is a quote there to let the parents smile, teachers smile. It's important to smile.
Amen.
So we have to smile in spite of the storm, right?
Amen.
I have still many things to share, but I think our time is up. So, yes, we need to pray each other. As a church, we need to help each other. And I'm so grateful for this family camp that we've learned a lot of encouragement and ways to raise our children in such a way that God will be glorified.
Amen. Thank you very much. Beautiful. I think so. Thank you very much. Okay, now the Cowdens are going to come to us. Conway and Aliona and the boys. Thank you.
It is a high calling and responsibility and privilege to raise children, and like many have shared, it's been on my heart that I do it right, and I tell the boys that I don't have parenting experience. This is my first time parenting, and I need help.
Amen.
And the family retreat and family camp has been an answer to my prayers, because I see families just like ours that struggle, that want to do the right thing, that want to raise their children in the way of the Lord. And through their experiences and seeing how they accomplish things, how they bring up their children, and how they overcome the struggles that we have, gives me hope.
Amen.
And we talk with the children. What I appreciated at the family camp, after each message, we were given time. While the piano was playing, we could meditate, pray, and then discuss with our family mm-hmm. what we're taking out
Amen.
From this message.
Amen.
And I had my children tell me, especially on the subject that was presented with love and firmness, and I asked the boys, what do you think? Is mommy too loving and less firm, or is mommy firm? And they said, sometimes you're one and sometimes you're the other. And I realized that I need balance. And I pray that the Lord gives me balance to
Amen.
Train them in the right way. And I ask for their help, and I ask
yes.
them, please pray for mommy and daddy.
Amen.
We need your prayers, and help us do better. Because if you're obedient, then I'll be less firm, because I will not need to be firm. You'll be obedient. And I would like to share from... we're such a blessed people to have the sure word of God.
Amen.
And to have
Amen.
The counsel of the Lord.
Yes.
And getting together with other families and reminding each other is a great help for me.
Amen.
Because it's there. Mm. But sometimes in the busyness of life, we forget where to go and what to turn to. But
yes.
it's a reminder
yes.
to us to... search for those principles.
Yes.
And being there, it helped me go home and study more and look for those principles and want to apply them in our family life. And it says here, the counsel of the Lord says, love has a twin sister, which is duty. Mm-hmm. Love and duty stand side by side. Love exercised while duty is neglected will make children headstrong, willful, perverse, selfish, and disobedient. But if stern duty is left to stand alone without love to soften and win, it will have a similar result. Duty and love must be blended in order that children may be properly disciplined. The child should be taught that every fault uncorrected will bring unhappiness to himself and will displease God. Under such discipline, children will find their greatest happiness in submitting their own will to the will of their Heavenly Father. And when I present it to them, it doesn't come from me. I take my responsibility as a parent seriously. And this is the counsel of the Lord. We need to obey it together.
Amen.
There you go. Last year, I wasn't able to be there the whole week, but this time, I enjoyed it so much last year that I took time off from my job to be there the whole time.
Praise God.
And very glad that I did. So I encourage you to do the same if you can. What I appreciated was that the presenters that were up there, they told about their own lives. They weren't super moms or super dads. They simply were just like us, but they gave us tools that they had followed that helped them to succeed as parents. So Child Guidance, Chapter 45, that's been said over and over again. That's something good. I remember two words that specifically stuck in my mind. When Maria Neblett was speaking, she said, when it comes a time when your children are being disobedient, refrain and restrain. When you are angry, you want to react harshly, refrain and restrain. Send up a quick prayer to God. Say, Lord, help me to say words like Jesus would say. So that's pretty much it for me. So.
Did either of the boys have anything? Thank you. Now here we have actually two families that are represented. I asked Jacqueline to go ahead and come up with the Coxes. They're going to share. But Jacqueline is going to share representing her family because they were there. Bahati and Jacqueline and Henry were there. And we're excited about that. So she's going to share what impacted her as well.
What impacted me the most is how media can affect both you and your lifestyle. Those who use Facebook are 2.7 times more depressed. 1 week of video games damaged the frontal lobe. The frontal lobe is where you judge what is right and wrong. Children spend 53 hours a week watching TV. Teens spend 9 hours a day watching TV. Plus school. I think we should learn that we should watch what we do with our lives.
Amen. Praise God.
What was most impactful to me was the sermon that Scott Ritzema did called Remotely Controlled. And I did not know this, but new research has come out and has said that the neurons that are firing in our brain when we do something, when we watch something and it's like bad, our neurons are firing as if we are doing that very same bad thing. So what we see, our mind thinks that we are doing it straight off. So that makes me think twice about what I watch. And the other things that have really impacted me is like the UK kids spend less time outside than prison inmates. Isn't that sad? And it's just sad to see us kids, like, we don't want to spend time outside. We want to spend time all the time on TV. It's like, what's on TV that's more important to us than going outside? 96.6% of preschoolers use electronic devices. Preschoolers, guys, you know, like preschoolers. They use phones. They use tablets. They know how to play games, for example. It's like, that's sad. They cannot be learning how to read. They don't know how to do the other stuff, but they know how to play games. Isn't that sad? And children that are 7 and up spend more time watching TV than they do with their father and mother. That's really sad to me. Because I don't see my family, my dad, that much because he's working to provide the family. It's like, what if I spent all my time that I get with him watching TV? That would be worthless having him come an hour to see me. So that really impacted me. And then the other thing is Scott Richmond shared that we are in love with our devices. The same neurons that say we love our dog. It's the same as if you're in love with your device. You love it so much that you cannot go without it. I thought that was really sad. Like, what if I became addicted to, say, the computer? I'd be spending all my time on that. I just think that would be really sad. Not spending time with the Bible, not studying my lesson, not having any time with Jesus. And I just thought that would be so sad. I mean, what is this whole world? We're spending so much time on the internet, the computer, and so on, that they didn't even have time for God. That would be so sad. So that's what really impacted me. And so, like, I've seen kids that are on their phone in church. Is that more important, being on your phone, than listening to God's word? So that's really impacted me.
Are we more in love with our devices than we are with God or the people in our lives? Ouch. I tend to spend more time on my device. And, you know, that has been a challenge in our home, and we are working on it. Family camp has been such a blessing in our lives. This year was our 6th year that we were privileged to attend. We started going to family camp in 2008 when we lived in Missouri. I don't even remember how I learned about family camp. We weren't in the church at the time. I had been taking Alicia to Sabbath school. But I think maybe the Shook family told us about it. And I know that I wanted to go because I wanted better for my family than what was going on. Satan had been attacking us like a hailstorm. He was just trying to decimate our family. I can't even tell you. I mean, it just wouldn't be appropriate to tell you all the things that he had fired on us. And we were just like hanging onto driftwood in the ocean. And I know I had to drag Tim to the first family camp. And it was just a life-changing experience. It gave us hope. It was like somebody threw a life raft out to me and said, you know, it is possible to change. It is possible to have a family. Even if your family is a mess right now, it's possible by God's grace to change. I didn't even know about the power of God's grace. And that, to me, that's really sad, to be raised in Adventist and not know that there was power available to us to change. So anyway, it's just been a wonderful experience for us. We went 3 years in Missouri, and then we moved here, and life was really chaotic, so we missed 3 years. But then the last 3 years, we've been able to go. It's just been such an encouragement, because for me, home is the hardest place to be a Christian, a true Christian, consistently. I can put on my Sabbath clothes. I can put on my Sabbath face. I can come here, and y'all think we've got, you know, a good family. But when we're at home, I'm not always nice, and I have a temper, and I have mess makers that I live with, and life just doesn't go my way, you know? And it's real easy to be a little fit pitcher. But I've just learned so many things that have been so helpful. I've gotten so much encouragement on how to be an overcomer, how to parent, how to be a better spouse. The messages, just the fellowship with the other people who come. I was up until 2 o'clock one morning a couple of camps ago talking to a mom who has 8 boys. She homeschools her boys. Her home is in order. And I'm like, how do you do it? I have one, and my life's total chaos. You know, and it just was such an encouragement. And every year I try to meet somebody new and, you know, learn new things from new people. There are vendors that have materials that you can take home that are encouraging to help you get through the year. It was really, really fun this year. We had so many families from our church, and it was so much fun to be able to spend time with people from those families and to get to know them in a different setting, a different environment, much more relaxed. We were very focused on our purpose for being there, but it was relaxed, and just to be able to share from the heart how the messages we were hearing were impacting our lives and the changes we wanted to make. And so that was a real blessing this year, just to get to know my fellow church members in a better way. And also to know that we could come home and encourage each other through the year. We weren't just trying to do this alone. I always take home, like, one special message. There's one message that impacts me probably more than the others. Last year it was on parenting, and there were specific parenting things to apply. This year it was Maria Neblett's message called The Language of Encouragement. You've heard it referred to several times by the families that have gone ahead of us. And it just impacted my life incredibly too. The good news is that you don't have to wait a whole year to be impacted by the messages that we've been impacted by from family camp.
Amen.
These things can be a blessing, and those messages are available on websites. Maria Neblett's message on the language of encouragement is on their website, and most of the messages, the ones from this year, are not up yet, but 2015 and messages from many years past are available on Restoration International's website. If you have questions, contact any of us, and we can, you know, if you want to listen and you want the blessings that we've experienced, we will be glad to connect you with those websites. Also, I wanted to say, before my husband shares, that this man, he is such a good man, but he was a couch potato before we met and married and much long into our marriage. And so just remember that when he shares this part. Thanks.
Well, I think what the girls have said is quite good, and I'm so nervous that I don't have much to say now, but I also chose Scott Ritzma. He was here at this church a little over a year ago, and I would encourage anybody that would like to end up and hear his Media on the Brain to let us know, because we have copies. And the church here has copies also, but he shared quite a bit of new stuff from stuff that he did not have a year ago that he's now incorporated into some of his presentations. But one of the things that I picked up on was from the Garden of Eden till the end of time, there's three events that he brought out. One was during the exodus of the children of Israel, the cross at the time of Christ, and at the end times, we all have, there's three things in common in all those there scenarios, and that is that the children, Miriam was there to make sure that her brother ended up and got taken care of. I'm real nervous, I'm sorry.
You're okay.
The other thing is, whenever Christ was here on earth, the children, sorry.
We'll give him a minute to recover. I think what he's trying to express is that children played a significant role at key times in the history of God's people. Miriam.
No. It's okay if he's emotional. Let him finish sharing it, because I really want to hear it from his perspective.
Anyway, excuse me for that there, but the children cried out, "Hosanna in the highest."
He can't. Okay. Go ahead, Heidi.
I'm going to let her read the quote.
Well, just keep in mind that Miriam was there and she played a key role in saving her brother Moses, who did a mighty work by God's grace. Children also, excuse me, as the children sang in the temple courts, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So in these last days, children's voices will be raised to give the last message of warning to a perishing world. When heavenly intelligences see that men are no longer permitted to present the truth, the Spirit of God will come upon the children, and they will do a work in the proclamation of the truth which the older workers cannot do, because their way will be hedged up.
Now she's got through the hard part. The thing that Scott brought out was that this media that consumes a lot of our family time is one of the ways that Satan is using this to end up and influence our children as well as our families, and that if he can take control through all these different avenues, then it will deter us being effective in the end times. And so basically we need to guard our time when it comes to all of the media devices that we have.
Thank you guys. Okay, we are winding down, but we do have a few more. I'm sorry.
Well, this won't take long. The thing that stuck out to me was having adult children, we missed out on a lot. We missed out the things that we shoulda, coulda, woulda did because we didn't know. But what really stuck out was the time that they spent together, taking their relationship to a whole nother level. And the only way you could do that is by studying together and praying together and allowing God to lead you, and you can never get too old for that. And so my thing is, the feeling that I have when I study with God, that relationship, I want that same feeling with my husband to take it to another level.
I would just like to share, one of the things that stands out in my mind is, it was the Nebula Dyson kids did like the seminar, and they're like in their 20s, so these are not like real old people. I don't consider myself old, but they're not real old. These are young people, in other words. And so they did a seminar, and one of the things they said, you know, these people said, well, you look at the Nebula kids, and they think, well, yeah, why? How are they Christians? She said, the reason why we're Christians is by the example of our parents, and the example of our parents and accountability. And so that stuck out to me. You know, they were accountable. They looked at the example of their parents, and it gives you hope. Some things I didn't know as I was raising my girls, but as I'm helping with my grandkids, there's hope. And one other thing, this 22-year-old kid had came to camp, and he said his parents had brought him to camp all these years. And this year, his parents' desire was not the same as his desire. His parents had strayed. They had went another way, and he determined in his mind that he was going to be there. And so normally you hear parents asking prayer for their kids, but he needed prayer for his parents. And he said it was the ground root, the grounding that his parents gave him was the reason why he was here. They said, it does matter what we do, even though in Proverbs 22 it says, you know, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they, oh, they won't depart. It didn't say they wouldn't stray. But if you've given them the groundwork, then there's hope that they have something to the Holy Spirit to bring back to their mind. So these meetings just gave hope. My husband's not able to be here, but he's still talking about it. He was I'm surprised just how impacted he was by it, but he said he doesn't want to miss another family camp. So I just thank God that he gave me the opportunity, and there's things that I've learned that I can help incorporate into my grandkids' life. And if you haven't been, I'll just encourage everyone to come.
Amen. Thank you, Lady. And then our last family is Sister Josephine and Sister Lewis joining her. These ladies came for the first year as well.
I want to thank the Lord for being there. I know it was his purpose for me to be there. I didn't know when I came to Kansas City to be with my sister because I was so sick I couldn't be by myself. And when I saw the Buddhist thing about the family recamp meeting, the Holy Spirit just said, I need to be there, and I want to be there. But I said, Lord, I don't have no way. I don't have no money. I'm sick. But I thank God that he made a way. I cannot tell every day, every situation that I have been in since I've been here, I saw God hang, and they had a camp family reunion. It just seemed all family, don't care, children, old grandparents, husband and wife, all united as one. We all have difficult. We not made it yet there. We all have trial and tribulation. They to strengthen us. And all that we all, when Christ come, walking in his step, not easily unless we let go of itself, we are our enemy. So help us all that we would, the one that one day they are striving, and we are here today to walk in Jesus' step, to die to self, and let Christ take complete control of our lives. Thank you all. I just thank you, a part of family of God. One day we won't be in this world, but we all will be family of the heavenly hope.
Do they know when to start?
Well, I want to thank God for this opportunity to be here. And I thank God for family camp. I want to speak about the two children, Hannah and her little brother. She spoke on Set Free. And I chose this because children, to be able to tell you about being set free, and at this young, tender age is just, it's saying something. Because myself, when I was the age of these children, I did not know anything. I did not know the way of salvation. I didn't know anything. And so you don't have to wait till you get older like myself. At age 39, I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But you don't have to wait till you're 39. You can accept Jesus as a young child, as these children spoke out. That was really, did my heart good because they knew Jesus. And they could tell you about Jesus. So it just, I just want to say it just did my heart good. So whether you're 90 years old or whether you're 7 years old, you can be an example for Jesus. You can walk in the way of Jesus no matter what your age is. And I just want to thank God for the family camp. I don't know whether anybody will say anything about the scenery there, but that scenery said so much to me. There was a lake, and looking with such a beautiful grassy slope with boats on the water, and that just reminded me of Jesus. When he was here on this earth, how peoples were so crowded about him that he had to get into the boat and push off into the water where he could minister and talk to them. And so that was so beautiful. I just enjoyed that scenery, sitting out there eating. And made me think of heaven also. There was a deer that let us got up to him and petted, rubbed him. And I said, one of these days when Jesus come, all of the animals and everything is going to be friends. Nothing will be afraid of us. But I never thought I would see that on this earth before Jesus come. And there was a dog out there. He was lovely and running up to everybody and kids and everybody petting him. And it just seems like he was just walking up saying hello to everybody. So I enjoyed family camp. Family camp, if you've never been, please make up in your mind to go, because you will have something that will stay with you. And you can take it wherever you go.
As everyone is lining up, go ahead and let's line up for our closing song. We're actually going to do the theme song from Family Camp. And while humanly I want to apologize to you all that we've gone over so much, and yet my prayer, honestly, we really were trying to be intentionally mindful of time, and we never want to overburden anyone. But I long for the day when we get to the point where, while we're sensitive to the time, that we understand that if we're going to enjoy the privilege of heaven eternally, this is where it all begins. The reason each one of these individuals had a hard time keeping it limited is reflective of just how much this experience impacted them. And I guarantee you, if they had more opportunity, they would share much more. I had things that I wanted to share that time just doesn't allow for. But our greatest plea is that we won't just leave here saying, oh, there was another message, but that we will really, really take it to heart and let the Holy Spirit transform our homes, our families, our marriages, so that we can help those in our community to do the same, and so that together we can go home. Again, the title of this year's family retreat was In His Steps. And you do see some of the pictures behind us. There's the deer that Sister Josephine was talking about. And listen very closely to the words to this song. And once this is finished, actually the words are going to come up. But listen to the words. We're going to sing it through. And then we want you all to sing it with us. After we sing it through, if everyone will stand up and then sing the song with us, the words will be on the screen. But listen to the words. And then we're going to ask Amari to close, have our closing prayer.
by the oldest daughter of the Waters, the people who started Restoration International.
That we should follow in his steps.
Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we want to give you thanks and praise for this beautiful day. We can't wait for when we'll be having Sabbath at heaven, Father. We want to thank you for your working in us, working in our children, and help us, Lord, fill us with your spirit as we live here today and always. That way we can be a shining example to everybody else what it means to abiding in you, Father. We know that Satan is going to attack us where he hurts the most, and that is the family, Father. I pray for each and every family in here, Father, that you may strengthen them, and they might have picked something from the message today. That way they may grow close and become even better friends, become even better partners to each other, Lord, and become even more better Christians than they are right now. Bless us, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray and believe. Amen.